We're back, and we'll begin the study of John chapter 1, verses 14 to 18, which I've entitled, The Word Became a Human Being. A quick review, on verses 1 to 5, we talked about Jesus, the Word of God, the Logos. He's the light and life of the world, and he came to restore us to the life, to the abundant life that God originally designed for us. And then in last time in chapter 1, verses 6 to 13, we talked about the John the Baptist, how he testifies about the light and how we can testify of the light. And then the wonderful promise that's given in verse 12 and 13 to all who received him. To all who receive him, to them who believe in his name, he gave the privilege to become children of God. So I want to, as always, encourage you and challenge you to hear the word of the Lord today. Let's come to God by faith. Whoever comes to God must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And as we come in faith and expectation to the word, let's pray together and ask God to speak to us and to impart life to us, the life of Jesus. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the study of the Gospel of John, and pray that you would help us that as we read and study and think, and your spirit would guide us and that you would speak to us and show us wonderful things from your word. We pray in the name of Jesus, and may the glory of Christ be revealed through the sharing of his word. So let's just begin by reading this passage. The word became flesh and lived among us. We saw his glory, such glory as the one and only Son of the Father, full of grace and truth. John testified about him. He cried, saying, "This was he of whom I said, he who comes after me has surpassed me, for he was before me. From his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth are realized through Jesus Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The one and only Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, has made him known." So beginning with verse 14, the word became flesh and lived among us. We saw his glory, such glory as the one and only Son of the Father, full of grace and truth. It says that the Logos, the word, lived among us. The word is actually means he pitched his tent, or he tabernacled among us. He lived among us, and this is a reference to the tabernacle in the wilderness that God built through Moses, and in the middle of that tabernacle was the Holy of Holies and the Shekinah glory of God. The radiance of his presence was revealed in the place where he dwelt, and John knew that God had revealed his glory in Jesus, and that's why he wrote, "We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father." God has revealed himself in many ways through nature, through the scriptures, but his ultimate fulfillment and greatest revelation of to mankind is Jesus himself. He is filled with grace and truth. He can expose our sin and show us where we must change. This is one part of truth, but he is also full of grace. He'll forgive our sins and give us his life and his presence and his encouragement so that we can walk in righteousness before him. It says in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. we were made to live in God's glory, but we lost that privilege through sin, and Jesus came to restore us to that plan of God, to live in his presence and to reflect his glory. Verse 15, John testified about him. He cried out, saying, "This is he whom I said, he who comes after me has surpassed me, for he was before me." This actually seems like a parenthetical statement about John the Baptist to emphasize that he emphasized the eternity of Jesus. Actually, Jesus was John's cousin was born 3 months after John, but John said he was before me, and he was emphasizing John the Baptist testified that Jesus is eternal. And it says in verse 16, "From his fullness we have received grace upon grace, for the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ." So how have we received grace upon grace? Through Jesus. Grace is undeserved favor. But in fact, it's favor shown to people that deserve the very opposite. For example, in Romans chapter 5, verse 8, it says, "God demonstrated his love toward us in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." We deserved judgment, punishment for our sins, but God showed us grace, the opposite of what we deserved. And it says in verse 16, "From his fullness we've all received grace upon grace." The fullness is the totality of God. That's the fullness of Christ. It says in Colossians chapter 2, verse 9, that Christ is all the fullness, in Christ, all the fullness of the deity, all the fullness of God lives in bodily form. And in Christ, you have brought fullness. In Christ, you have been brought fullness. Wow. Since all the fullness of God dwells in Christ, then every spiritual blessing is found in Christ. And therefore we lack nothing. From his fullness we've received grace upon grace. That means that in Christ we receive a continual supply of grace. It never runs out. Even when we fail, even in our weaknesses, the grace is available nonstop. There's no end. No matter what we're facing, or even if we failed, or if our future is dark, the grace of God in Christ is available. That is amazing grace. That is the grace that God offers to us day by day in every situation. Verse 17, "The law was given through Moses. Grace and truth are realized through Jesus Christ." The law expresses God's character and his design for how we should live, but because of our sin nature, we cannot keep the law in our own strength. And so Jesus, God in the flesh, God incarnate, came into this world and became the sinless sacrifice for our sins. See, this is how we realize grace, is through the cross. The cross is the greatest act of God's mercy and love, and from the cross flows the infinite supply and flow of his grace to us. Through Jesus, we come to see the truth about God, the truth about the world, the truth about the condition of mankind, the truth about ourselves, and the truth about eternal salvation. Christ died in order that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. This is through the grace of God. Verse 18, "No one has seen God at any time. The one and only Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, has declared him. So how did Jesus reveal the Father to us? And how does he continue to reveal the Father to us? Well, Jesus said in John 6:46, no one has seen the Father except the one who is from God. Only he has seen the Father. Only Jesus, who is one with the Father and lives in intimacy with him, can reveal the Father to us. Jesus has made him known. This is the ongoing theme of John, that Jesus lived in intimacy with the Father and reveals him to us so that we can live in intimacy with the Father, just like Jesus lived. Jesus came to reveal what God is like to human beings so that we may know him and live in a love relationship with him. Jesus came to explain to us and to reveal to us what God is like and how we can know him. Matthew 11:27 says, no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. We don't and cannot know God through human intellect or only by study or human reasoning. We can only know the God if the Son reveals him to us. But that is the reason why he came. And so let's thank God together. Thank you, Father, that you came into this world as a human being. You lived in a human body to make the Father known to us, to reveal grace and truth to us, and to bring in relationship us into relationship with yourself. And thank you that it says that we receive grace upon grace, and that there's an endless, infinite supply of your amazing grace to us through Jesus and through the cross. And we rest in that grace today. We thank you for it and pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.